Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Man, I have to check the calendar to realize we're still in February.
Yeah, it's been warm, man. It's been warm days. We were walking. We went camping. We went to the Winter Sports Complex today and we took the kids out and we supposed to have snow. We supposed to have ice skating.
Right.
We posted the illusion.
The luge.
We did roller luging. We hiked to the beach.
Okay.
We went to the block. The blockhouse. Yeah, the blockhouse.
Yeah.
We did some rope skills things, and we looked at nature, and we did some archery.
Okay.
But it wasn't winter sports complex activities. It was like basically.
Just outdoor activities, man.
October.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. Absolutely. I was dressed like I'm dressed right now, just a little hat on my head and this jacket and pants. And it was like, I remember last year having on two pair of socks, boots, gloves, a mask on. And every 20 minutes, I had to go back in the building and get a cup of hot chocolate.
Right. That was truly winter, you know. But it still, that had to be good fun for the kids, man.
Oh, yeah. I just
get out of the classroom.
Yeah, they excited. They were excited and they had a good time. And that's what it's all about, getting them another experience and to do something to show them the pathways of being able to have access in your community, having fun in your backyard. A lot of people say things. There's no things for kids to do or things for people to do. You just got to just you gotta just check it out. It's things here.
You got to be exposed, man. And there's a lot of things that West Michigan has to offer if you go out and explore. It's not going to come and knock on your door, but like you guys do is get out, get these kids out, and let them see what other things to do in the community. And that's great, man. That is just absolutely fantastic.
Yep, so I know our sixth grade team went out, me and a couple other teachers, Miss Simmons and Miss Emmons, and we had a good time. And you know, a lot of energy.
Yeah, yeah. You never know what might pique one of those kids' interest, like you say in that archery. You know, one of those kids might say, I really kind of like this. And
yeah, I noticed
get
that.
Involved.
A couple kids got bullseye. I know, like one boy, he hit an arrow on top of an arrow.
Oh, wow.
On the bullseye.
He's natural.
Yeah, I said, that's and one little boy described the book he was reading. He said, that's Hunger Games, Mr. Williams. Oh. I was like, look at these kids read.
Okay, that hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, you know, Hunger Games, the movie.
Right, that movie.
Yeah, he's like, that's Hunger Games. So he reading the book, too, though.
That's good.
Like, look, he made the arrow go inside the arrow in the bullseye. That never happens.
Right.
You know, and he was, you know, showing that skill and that concentration.
Yeah.
So, and I was telling them before they did it, I was like, Will Chamberlain had scored 100 points. But before he scored that 100 points, he was doing archery on a video game at the arcade, or like throwing darts.
Uh-huh.
And he was getting like top scores.
Right.
Then he went right into the basketball game. He left the arcade and went right into the basketball game and scored 100 points.
Hand-eye coordination.
That is.
You know what's really strange about that night he scored 100 points?
What's that?
It was no television or recording for that particular game.
They played the Knicks, didn't they?
I think it was the Knicks, man.
The Knickerbockers.
The Knickerbockers.
That's right.
Yeah, so all they got is steel pictures. But there's nothing on a recorded basis to show, you know, this guy scoring 100 points, which has never happened in the NBA. That's an incredible feat, man.
Still never happened.
I don't think it'll ever be broken. It might with the three-pointer, but I tell you, it's going to take one heck of an effort to break that record. It's been long-standing, and Wilt was one of the best.
Yes, he was.
Basketball coming to an end here for regular season. High school girls, boys.
Yeah.
Gearing up for the tournament.
Man, we had a game.
Exciting.
Man, we had a game the other night.
Really?
And
I didn't miss that.
We played Reese Puff, and it was like, it's like we just signed up to come in the gym or something. It's like, you know, you're going, I'm not going to say this, but it seemed like the referees say, y'all know we got on green jerseys too?
Oh, really? Yeah, that's that home cooking treatment.
I couldn't take it, man. I'm looking at the game at the halftime. I go to the scores table. They shot like 11 to 13 free throws. I say, we shot three. I say, that's
pretty imbalanced.
Yeah, it's like imbalanced. Score was like 11 to 19. They had 11 free throws. I say, hold on. They only had 8 points. They only had 2 baskets. If they ain't had no free throws. So then second half comes. They got 19 free throws made.
19?
So they had 30 free throws for the game. We had 8.
That's incredible.
And then the week before, we go see Mona Shores and Reese Puffer play that Friday, and they letting them play physical. but we can't even touch the girls. And I was like, nah, I don't like that.
Okay.
So that really, that rubbed me the wrong way that day. So I don't care who listens to this or whatever. Anybody will say anything.
The truth. The numbers. Numbers don't lie.
The athletic director called me. Johnson, you saying something again? They mad at you. But they can be mad at me.
They can be mad.
That's why I'm not the head coach, because I can't take that. That's not fair to kids right there. So it's just that's a shame. When you're trying to play for, I think we was playing for second place. It's like we just walked in. They was like, they gave them the consolation prize or something. Like you walking in this gym, you know it's a loss because it's probably the last time we have a decent team. But I'm not going to go that way. It's not like I'm ESPN Sports now.
Okay.
But it just hurts to see that it's demoralizing to see kids work so hard and prepare themselves for something and somebody else take it away from them.
Yeah.
Adults take it away from them. So that's it. And I'm going to leave that alone. Get off my soapbox.
Okay.
But that's what it is, Tony. And
you gotta get ready. Speak your mind, Coach.
We got Jenison Friday.
Okay.
You know, it's a pre-recorded show. And then we got playoffs next week. So there it is.
Finish up on a strong note. New season. Right. New season coming up. And hopefully you can get a better group of officials that understand that you got to be consistent. Okay, that's all we ask for. Okay, be consistently good or consistently bad on both sides. We can live with whatever choice you want to make. But when you're just consistently good for one team and bad for the other, that's when we take offense to those kind of situations.
You're right.
But, yeah, so you guys are going to be at Kennewell?
Kennewell Hills.
And Kennewell Hills.
Then they got the other game at Reese Puffer. So I'm like, what is that?
Right, you go to your districts over there at Kennewell, and then you come back, right?
No, they.
They split them?
They split
the district. Okay.
How they do that?
That's weird, man. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I've never had nothing like that happen.
Yeah, go there, and then I think Rodney mentioned that to me. I was under the impression that one was a district, one was a regional, but they split the district. Well, somebody must have cried long and hard enough to get some of the money out of the pot.
Yeah, that's it. That's all that was about, probably.
Yeah.
Was trying to get a home court advantage some way.
Well, we have the boys.
Yeah, they got what?
Districts at Muskegon.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and for those listeners that were at the game the other night.
When was the last time? 2012? For that?
Well, the year they won it all.
Oh, 2014.
14.
Okay. Oh, right.
Yeah, 14. And that was the first time ever that we had hosted a district at Muskegon High School.
How long Muskegon High School been around?
A long time, man. You know what was up.
This is crazy.
You know what was up, but IED had he had enough intestinal fortitude to make them stand up and be accountable and give us our props and let us have our day, man.
You're right. Let's have our time.
Yeah, for those fans that are listening that was at the game the other night that may have had a parking issue.
Yes.
It's resolved to continue to park the way you have parked in the past. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they was out writing tickets, man. We challenged it and got some folks involved and it's resolved. We're parking as usual with no problems. All righty, man. What we're going to do today? What we're going to talk about today?
We'll talk about
a little issue that's not more of the theme of the show, but I think it's something that
That'll affect your child's education
as
later.
As taxpayers and supporters of public schools, I just think it's something that we should have a discussion about so our listening audience have a better understanding of what's really on the horizon when it comes to funding education in the United States and especially in Michigan. We've all heard of the voucher system.
That's DeVos.
Right. Who's just been the appointed or approved in a historic vote in the Senate where the vice president had to cast a deciding vote for her affirmation as the education secretary.
Yes, sir.
It was a 50-50, and the vice president had to cast that vote in order for her to get this position. Republicans as well as Democrats had issues because of her background, lack of understanding of the public school system, and just a total supporter of private parochial schools and the use of vouchers. which if anybody know about the DeVosses, they are very, very wealthy people in the city of Grand Rapids as well as the country. Part owners, their wealth came from the Amway Corporation, which is an international company selling products of all kinds, and they are billionaires.
That's right. And then also a tidbit I got about her is a significant organization, American Federation for Children.
Yep.
The advocacy organization, DeVos chaired. She was the chairperson. I mean, you know, sit on the board, on the panel. Chairperson means like guiding decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Until she was nominated to be Secretary of Education. AFC supports both public-funded charter schools and even more so private school choice. Public schools sponsor programs that gives families money to spend on tuition at private schools. So that's her thing. And then I remember them questioning her about how much money her family has invested in giving to certain groups. And they had broke that number down to like $300 million over the last,
woo,
I think 10 or 15 years, if I'm not mistaken, probably 20. So she always believed in doing the things the privatized dollar way with her. Cash is king and her family. And once you got it, they know how to get it, I guess, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, the system is set up in a way to, I think it benefits those that support it, such as public schools. You know, I came up through the public school. You came up.
That's right. Public school.
90% of the people that we meet,
public
interact
college
with every day are state funded colleges.
Yes.
Public school systems. And there's a reason for that. Private schools came into the existence as a form of segregation.
They're expensive, right? Too. Expensive. They even go to private universities, they're expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive. Private schools is, you know, an elementary, I think, tuition over there is probably about $12,000 at Christian, as an example, a year. And that was the reason for, more so the reason for private education. You got private and you got parochial, okay? And a lot of that was because of desegregation. I think the increase in the attendance to those. So now the issue is that do we take public dollars and let students attend these private or parochial schools?
And then the way they had to try to phrase it is like, in the information I have, it talks about there are 50 organizations, 50 private school choice programs. It's 50 of them.
50.
And located in 25 states. And it talks about the AFC again, the American Federation for Children. It included only those programs that explicitly allow students to attend religious schools. So DeVos, whose family has long supported causes associated with the Christian religious right,
mm-hmm,
has publicly called education reform a way to advance God's kingdom.
Okay.
But I always look at it like this. I have a problem with that, too, because I look at it like this, and this is Black History Month, and you had those people taking Jesus' name and slandering it for the benefit to keep someone a slave.
Yes.
To keep you in bondage.
Yes.
To keep you blind.
Okay.
Under One Nation with Nat Turner, he was a pastor, right?
Yeah.
And he seen the brainwashing coming. Like, just preach this message right here that they're going to be slaves forever and in bondage. But when he started reading the word for himself and discovering who he was in that word, he stepped outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody talking about a voucher and they rich and they're millionaires, it goes to one word, Tony. And I know we talked about this word the other week. We talked about tax credits.
Okay.
But they call it tax credit scholarships.
Tax credit scholarships.
Man, how was
dressing
that?
It up, dressing
is
it
that,
up.
Is that an oxymoron?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Tax credit scholarship.
No, so don't work that way.
Scholarship. Man. Somebody pay my scholarship and they get a tax credit. That sounds like big business to me. But they break it down in the three ways. It says three concepts. It's friendly towards the word that you mentioned earlier, privatization, which is another way of saying segregation,
yeah,
subdivision, suburb, set me apart. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be included. I don't want diversity. I want to make sure that everything is set aside. Mm-hmm. But it's my way of saying that my money can afford a certain path.
Yes.
That's first. Number two, religious education.
Have no problem with it as long as you fund it privately.
Correct. Three, a hands-off approach to accountability for private schools. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Hey, we got our own money.
That's right.
Tell us what to teach.
That's it.
We don't have to go with no Common Core. We don't have to do an IEP. We don't have to do a 504 plan. We're giving him religion.
That's it.
That's all he needs. Yep. Which, I had an argument there because it's two ways you can look at that. You can say, you got to learn how to read, write, math, and science. I was telling the kid this the other day. But I said, with those four, you do need a biblical understanding. I do admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I say that. But you should not be able to privatize God's education.
No. No, I think a lot of the problems.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think me personally, a lot of problems in the public school system, you know, for me, is that we did take religion out of the schools, okay?
Yes, sir.
I truly believe that is an issue, man. And, like, one of the stipulations as far as the First Amendment is about separation of church and state. But the fact that you have people that believe does not change how you run your school system, per se. But I think we went too far to the right. We had a lot of groups, the ACLU,
yes,
that you know, wanted to take that to the letter, to say to the letter. Since it's a separation of church and state, then we can't have nothing to do with religion in the school system.
That's right. But then
that's wrong.
Yeah, and it's wrong because religion is necessary. It's a point. But then when you do that, that's when you get somebody like this.
Okay.
So when we went all the way left, look what we got.
That's what we got.
Because when we left, you didn't include her. But now she a billionaire. And she like, I know how to go under.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to go under the table. And now she's in the position. And then going back to the in a scholarship tax credit program, the money bypasses state coffers altogether.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is federal. This is basically coming from the federal, bypassing state coffers.
So it says corporations, Tony, or individuals can offset tax liability by donating to a private, mm-hmm, nonprofit, not school,
nope,
scholarship organization. The money from this fund is in turn awarded to families to pay for tuition at private schools. So I don't even have to get a money to the school. I can give it to the AFC, and mm-hmm, they can pay the money. But why does the owners pay the school? Is this a hidden agenda there?
Yes, it is. Because now we control the numbers of individuals, and we can determine who can come and who can't come. Okay, we'll select the ones that we want to give those, per se, scholarships to. And you see it happening more so in the larger cities, in the private schools. Because, for instance, when we play football, we'll go to the state finals, we'll look at a Brother Rice.
That's right.
Okay, and we'll see the racial makeup of the football team.
Oh, like the Detroit.
Okay.
He from the West Side.
Okay.
He from Hamtramck. He's from Highland Park.
Yeah.
He from Southfield.
Yeah. River Rouge.
Yeah.
You know?
How you get to school every day?
How you get to school every day? And this is a house. You're housed at Brother Rice, too, by the way. There's dormitories. Boarding school. Okay. So can anybody go, though? Can anybody go? You got to have some kind of a special skill set
in
order to qualify.
Jump, flip. So your ABC's backwards.
Right.
You got to be able to have some special talent, or we don't want you.
Well, our boy Chris Weber.
That's right.
Rick Chris. Chris grew up, he'll tell you.
Middle
you
class.
Know. Right.
Dad worked at
GM.
Yep.
Worked
big,
at GM.
Big three.
Couldn't afford to send him to Detroit Country Day.
I think he got in trouble in, like, middle school or something, too.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, so they did something. I'm not mistaken. It might be somebody else, but he was about 6'7 in the eighth grade. So, in trouble or whatever he was
so
in.
So, you get a lot of people looking at you.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people looking at you. He was dominating.
And that's, I mean, you know, that that says the system is not fair in that respect.
No, it's
not. Because in order for you to benefit from a program like you just described, you have to have special skills and special talents from an athletic standpoint. But what about academic standpoint? Would we be encouraging these organizations to bring in students that are very good in math and in science and give them a scholarship? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. That look that are of brown descent or have that of a Latino or African American. Would you bring them in if they couldn't run, jump, flip, or kick?
For free. For free.
Oh, he got good math grades. We could bring him in and he'll make us look good. Or would that be competition in the wrong area?
It'll be competition in the wrong area.
So it goes back to the tax credit structure. It's especially significant when considering what could happen under the divorce in the Trump administration. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because it could be a way to promote school of choice on a federal level without writing big checks. So Donald Trump said, come on, girl, you got a plan?
Right.
I don't have to play for public education. Now I'm about to go real deep now, Tony.
Okay, let's go.
I'm in the baseball. I'm in the park now. I'm in the Jackie Robinson park now. Let's hit him with this. Donald Trump says he doesn't have to pay for public education if he goes with DeVos's way.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that now it's the brain drain happens to the public structure, right?
Yep.
Now that's looking like, to me, that's looking like eugenics.
Okay.
Margaret Singer. Like, oh, we can delete the population by lowering the education and the funding we put to it because we could just give everybody a voucher.
Okay.
And say, go where you want to go. So what does that do in an urban community? That tears the structure, the fiber of a community up. You don't go to the same elementary school. You don't go to the same middle school. You don't go to the same high school. So what happens is opportunities with people building a better community because they don't go to the same schools changes the fabric of that neighborhood.
Yes, it does.
And then now the school that's in the neighborhood that your house is at, that's public, is not receiving the dollars because everybody decided to go somewhere with a little receipt that they got from an AFC or an organization to say, I got my voucher, I'm going over here.
Yeah, come on over here. We're gonna give your child a better education.
But I can guarantee you this. When little Johnny goes over to that school with that voucher and little Johnny is not ready academically, they're gonna have a plan in place to ship Johnny out of there.
Okay.
And when Johnny's out of there, guess what? You're gonna have a receipt for the number that I have on my paper. $6,000. Can you get that $6,000 back? No.
Where can he go to school now?
He got to come back to the neighborhood. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood with Eddie Murphy in it now, though. Okay. Remember on Saturday Night Live?
Right. Eddie Murphy is Mr. Robin.
He's like, what happened to Mr. Rogers? No, Eddie Murphy is Mr. Rogers now because they played a game on you. They made it a joke. So then now, what else struggles? Businesses struggle. Because now you done move a child somewhere, they ain't had no place being, and it's not in the public structure, and you took federal money that they made privatized dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So now the benefit don't even come to the person receiving the education. The benefit comes to organizations like AFC. So when you look at AFC, they talked about this in Florida. They said AFC was awarded high marks to Florida's programs for its broad eligibility. And when you say broad eligibility, Tony, you're talking about a wide range. We'll take everybody, right? Reaching families with incomes up to 200% of the federal poverty level. So when you say if the federal poverty level is $38,000, let's go 200%.
Okay.
That means you like somebody making like $10,000 a year, $9,000 a year, family of three per capita, right?
Right.
So then you look at that and it says for the generosity of a tax break to donors, a dollar for dollar match with a cap of increases automatically each year. And it's for the large size of scholarships, nearly 6,000. So I can get double, and it go up every year. So I'll get double for my money if I put in 6,000 or whatever I put in, and every year that'll go up. They have an indicator on it and make it increase.
Increase, yep.
Somebody getting rich.
Well, yeah, they're privatizing education, man. That's the deal for profit. What they're doing is
that's a stock market.
Public schools are not-for-profit organizations.
That's a stock market that they're trying to make the school.
Okay, it's profit. That's right.
But that's going back to slavery.
Okay.
I said on the radio. That's not like Big Rob talking now, man.
Can you do that?
I don't know if you can do that. That's crazy. That's like the stock market. Like, okay, I take this 6,000, I get 12 when I give it away. That every year I'm going to get that 12, and I'm going to get an increase on my tax break and my tax credit. every year it's gonna, the indicator gonna change 1.5% or whatever. I'm just throwing a number out there, but every year it's gonna increase by that much.
Yeah, every year.
And you're showing that over a 7 year or 5 year span, man, look how much money you can get out of that. Mm-hmm. That's almost 90 grand.
Tax benefits. Yeah, and there's one that talks about Title I. Title I is a long-standing federal program meant to send additional money to school districts that serve at-risk students.
Kids that need services, special services like books, technology services like hearing, seeing, eyesight.
High unemployment, somebody coming poverty in, level.
One-to-one peer groups where they would probably have a DHS worker work with them inside the school, a caseworker, to somebody to help their family out. So what he's looking at, I can see it now. Trump's looking, I can't spend all that money on this.
Well,
here go your $6,000 and take it.
That's the next part of the statement, is that it is hard to imagine the White House tapping this money without Congress cracking open the law and reworking the rules. And it is not clear there's enough appetite in Congress to do that. In other words, you know, there's a few people in Congress that get it, that says that we need to continue to set aside money to serve these at-risk students in their communities and not turn around and turn this into a money-making scheme for some guys that's got this thing worked out where they know how to make money off of education and leave the public school system high and dry. And I think the true test for us going to take place sooner than we think.
Yes, it is, because it's already been, because what they did, like you mentioned in your document, you had 1990. They piloted it already, and then Florida was the state that you really could do it in. And I see why they did it there, because going back to 2001, they took in 2015, 2016, they had 92,000 students that received those scholarships, and a 17% increase the year before. So it just kept on going up. But then they attached themselves to kids at the poverty line. Now, I used to go to Florida, like, all the time. And when you talk about Florida, you got Dade County.
Your
Fort Lauderdale, you got your Palm Beaches and all these other places. But you got the hood. You got the people that's coming in from Cuba. Mm-hmm. You got the real poverty level there. So you got the people that don't speak English, ESL, English is second language. And you coming in with a voucher, say, we're going to send you to this nice school. We're going to help your family out. But you don't speak English, so you don't understand nothing about no community, right? You don't understand community structure. You don't understand neighborhood. So I can take somebody in poverty and take advantage of them and put them somewhere and dress them up and make it look like I'm teaching.
And get paid.
So that's why I was done in Florida, because that's that gateway to America. Florida's gateway to America.
Yeah.
Texas is a gateway to America. Los Angeles is a gateway to America. For those bordering countries. And I'm not saying that about the bordering countries. I'm talking about the capitalists. People that are that see an advantage of taking advantage of people for ill gain, for to make money off a situation, mm-hmm. not to improve people's lives.
True. This is what we're talking about, okay, is the demise of the public school system. Is what's at stake. But what I meant earlier is Muskegon Heights.
We got poverty here. Why we can't get 92,000 kids to get there?
Okay, see this is going to be the test.
Yes, sir.
Hikes.
So, right. What do you think?
Okay, the ISD, are the ones, if they decide to make this move and shut down the high school, they're the ones that's going to make the decision as to who goes where. So it's not like you can't close the school doors.
Yes, sir.
Okay, if ISD says X amount is going to go to Reese Puffer, X amount is going to go to Morning Shores, X amount is going to go to Muskegon, Orchard View, Holden, Spring Lake, Fruitport, whatever. It's not the individual school districts that's going to be able to say where they go. But what will happen is when you do that, if you disperse them out, right now, let me get to the school, Mona Shores, I believe it is.
Yep, that's them.
Students, there's another Christian school that opened up out there, and when all this information started to come out about hikes, it was like 22 students had already got transferred. Their parents already went in and transferred for their kids to go to these other high schools outside of Mona Shores. So point I'm trying to make is that if this happens and these kids get sent to these other schools, you're going to see students in those school districts go probably private, parochial. And if you make this available, okay, then that's going to make it even easier for them to move out and get out of the school system because there's a reason why they're there.
Okay? Right. Then they got the privatization when you talk about, like, the virtual schools. And I'm not knocking nobody's business, but we know how they created. Everybody's an opportunist.
And let's be real, man. Who's going to get on a bus every morning and go 30 miles to school? And then if you are allowed to participate in any extracurricular activities after school, how are you going to get home at the end of the day? Okay? These are the issues that has been talked about. So what we've created is a dropout.
Yes, we have. Because now he...
Okay? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, like, I see that, like you said, the privatization with the virtual school coming in, get you a laptop. And certain kids, I understand, that worked for certain people that got disabilities and certain things like that. If they got a kid, if they're a teen mom. It's certain situations you got to create and help and support.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about breaking down the community, and then you always talk about, like, I know you mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that bottom 5%, this was off the show. Who's the next bottom 5%?
It's always going to be a bottom 5%, man. Yep, and anything that you do. The bottom 5%.
So, but this is how they're trying to erase them. They say, all right, we give you this voucher in your hand. You can go here. Mm-hmm. You can blend in.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have support services in place to see what we can do. Now, if it don't work out, you out of here. We're going to kick you out.
You're
out expelled.
Of here.
So where do I go next then? If I get expelled or I get somewhere else?
You get coveted. You know, maybe you go to coveted school, the academy. Bottom line is this. We're talking about tax dollars. Okay, being appropriated. We are taxpayers, and we should definitely make sure we contact our senators, our congressmen, and let them know that we don't support the voucher system in the way that they're trying to present it. Okay, make sure that they're aware of it, because at some point in time, they got to come up for election, and if they support it, you'll find somebody else that don't, and they'll have to go look for a job.
All right, I'm going to hit them with this to close out. Mark Pulo, a spokesperson for the union, argues that the fund violates Florida's students' constitutional right to a uniform education, like you just mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is in Florida because I told you they piloted it there because they got this melting pot of people. That's because schools that receive scholarship funds, now listen to this, audience, don't have to follow the state curriculum. Why do you think she's trying to come in and get rid of Common Core?
Mm-hmm.
Don't, and Common Core is deep and it's complicated. Yes, it could be something else that come. You know, they had no child left behind, things like, but it needs some, we call them essential standards, that we need some things that are non-negotiable that kids need to learn at every grade level.
I agree.
Can deal with that. And then show our kids, show me growth towards proficiency. I can live with that. Those are questions that she couldn't even answer when they questioned her.
Right.
You've seen that. When he was asking, I was like, you don't know that. You don't know nothing about education.
No.
So then it goes there and says, they don't have to follow the state curriculum. Don't have to participate in testing. All the testing we do in WEA, testing with, see if the kid is in special ed, psychology level. They don't have to do all that. And don't have to hire certified teachers. They don't have to follow the state rules. And
but they're getting state dollars.
Hey, but they know how to, they putting it in a different place.
Right.
It's like, you billionaires know, put my money on an offshore account and then bring it back to me. That's what this is right here. Put my money in this offshore, this nonprofit, and circle it back, but it make it double for me when it come to tax time. So, the private schools are required to administer a standardized test of some kind, though not necessarily a state test. So they can make up their own, they can pay a company to come in and test their kids, and they can skew the numbers if they want to.
Sounds like it to me.
If I sound like I'm for public education, I am.
I support it.
I'm a public product, but I know the game when I see it, and I see when people come in as opportunists. When Puff Daddy, Sean Diddy Combs, wanted to start a private school, I said, I know what it is.
Okay.
Because he don't know nothing. He don't know nothing about no school, and he don't know about no music. So I knew it was a problem.
Profit. It's about profit.
Taking advantage of people that are at a disadvantage and keeping them in generational poverty and stuck. We got to change the game.
Yes, agreed.
We have to change the game.
All right. Well, I'm Tony Williams.
And I'm Chauncey Williams, and this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.